Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And folks, it is now or never. I can't emphasize this enough, and I cannot tell you how frustrating it is in trying to unite and unify people. It is not easy being a unifier in such a polarized world. There are so many. I guess the best way to probably put this is as I look and as I deal with individuals that have created organizations, one of the things I have come to realize is that once you've created an organization, the relevance of the organization becomes paramount. And so getting individual leaders of organizations to kind of put aside their organizational relevance for actually solving the problem is critical. I mean, when I wrote my books, I realized that there were more than enough organizations. I didn't want to create another one to try to compete. I realized that what we had to do was we actually had to start unifying those people that were all a part of this organization. This is what has to happen. We have to unify. This is what the framers did. I mean, how much more beating do you think you're going to be able to take before you say, okay, we've got to unite? I mean, in the animal world, they deal in teams, they deal in packs. I mean, look at the ants, look at the insects. Even down to zero cognitive ability, they work. And it's, you know, it's kind of like those two ants, the two breeds of ants, the black and the red ants in the jar. And, you know, while they're all, you got 100 of each in the jar, so you have 200 ants in a jar. They know they can't go anywhere, and they abide, I'll just say they kind of abide civilly because they're not attacking each other. You shake that jar, they still don't attack each other until you put them on the ground, and then they'll just start tearing each other apart. And it's not like there was anything that happened. You could have put them on the ground without, you know, stimulating them, and they would have gone their ways. But they think that each other was attacking each other by, you know, the vibrations and shaking or what have you, and it puts them into fight or flight mode, and they will just fight. The fact is, but the point that I'm trying to put in, and the fact is that they work together. And how can they tell? I mean, how is there this ability to tell red from black? Or maybe it's the size. Maybe there's some sense that they have. Of course there is. But it's so interesting how they will bond together as an entity or as an organization. Now, wouldn't it be great if you could actually get all ants to bond together? Or, you know, like all people. And maybe that's what our problem is, because we still have this hardcore wiring. We have cognitive abilities. We have to put aside those things that actually make us different and actually put aside our self-interests if we're going to succeed. It really comes down to using your head. I had a Republican leader in a conversation just this past weekend with a Republican leader. And this Republican leader was talking about they had a Lincoln Day dinner, and they had, I believe it was the widow of Martin Luther King Jr. And she came out and she started talking about how they had to put aside their differences somewhat, but actually the real message that I was getting from him was that the message that was being stated was you had to reach out and include their agendas. And I'm going, are you kidding me? So, in other words, we're allowing ourselves to actually say we have to placate to your demographics. I honestly believe that the only way we succeed as a species in unifying is we have to put blinders on. It shouldn't matter the gender, and it shouldn't matter the racial components or ethnicities or cultural differences. The only thing that should matter is whether that person is embracing and willing to defend their, you know, fight to the death for individual liberty and individual sovereignty. That is the most important thing, that we have to basically believe. And that's why when we started all of this, I went through the scale of liberty. And I talked about the hard wiring that people have when you start going away from believing that everybody must get informed and choose for themselves what is the best for them. Now, when you start going down this path of saying, well, government's going to make decisions for you, then you are surrendering your sovereignty and your liberty. And so it's great to see that I can get some leaders in some of these old-time organizations, because maybe they just, you know, they finally wised up that, yeah, I don't want to be a part of the problem anymore. And, you know, maybe they finally realized that there's no quick path to getting rich if you're trying to do something right. I'm telling you, folks, this is not the path to get rich. This is the path to lead. This is the path for results if you want results in changing and in saving our liberty and saving this nation and changing the course of this nation. If you want to be involved in actually making that difference, because there's plenty of things out there that you can go off and get rich in, but you will never in your pursuits of becoming rich and independent financially in that perspective, you will never save the course of this nation. You will never save liberty, because the only way you can do that is when you start serving others. This is kind of why I talk about the importance of sanctifying what you're doing and sanctifying your efforts. Remember, and as you know what, I did not do this, and I think I really want to do this. And so I don't have it right here available, because as I tell you, I kind of fly by the seat of my pants, or at least I know what I want to talk about, and I have the outline for the unorganized militia, because that's what we're going to talk about today. But I think it's really important that I start off with Malachi. And I've read this before, and it's been a couple of years since I've read this, but I want to put this into context, because we have to start understanding. So I'll get into it when we get there. Let me go through some obligatories. This show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. And some of this academic evidence goes into scripture. It goes into the history. It goes into the science. We try to cover all the bases to help give you an irrefutable position and argument as to why we have to bond together and we have to fight for our liberty. And the funny thing is, we don't have to fight with guns. We have the Constitution. The Constitution gives us all the weapons we need. The Lord gave us everything we needed when He established this nation, and people are just stepping all over thinking, oh, well, we've got to have our Second Amendment rights. We have our constitutional rights. It's more than just the Second Amendment. It's your First Amendment. It is your U.S. citizen right. It's just like the framers. They were clamoring because they had rights as Englishmen. I don't know anything about Bob Seminar, and as soon as I do, you will find out. In our next episode, by the way, tomorrow, wherever we drop off today, we're going to have an interview with the man that is running for attorney general, and I like this guy. He's constitutional, and he is the guy that really can help, I think, get Idaho on track as far as the attorney general. But my sentiments are out on what the role of an attorney general really is at the state level. It's kind of like this Secretary of Justice, the Department of Justice. And so what is that role? Is that really within the Constitution? Is it? because we didn't have secretaries for the Department of Justice. And if you look at when the Department of Justice was created, it's kind of interesting that, you know, it started propping up after, you know, after we had really put to bed the 13th Amendment. And when I say the 13th Amendment, I'm talking about the nobility 13th Amendment that was ratified in 1812. And as a matter of fact, I can give you all the evidence. We will get into that later. But anyway, let me just keep going through some obligatories. Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you are needing some help and support and you're looking for some really quality coaching, I have the highest regards for Gary Smith with the Fortitude Financial Coaching. Reach out to him. His information is on our other links page, constitutioneducation.us. constitutioneducation.us for constitutional content and for constitutional education and training. Timber Nation for your, that's a solid walnut, folks, for your hardwood needs and furnishing and so forth. Stan Kluwit at Radio Dust Cover, American walnut, I might say. Stan Kluwit at RadioDustCovers.com for protecting your hard-earned money when you've bought and gone out and purchased radios, electronics, and those types of things. Make those things last by putting covers on them when you're not using them. And Ad Local for your ISP needs. And so we also want you to start subscribing to Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. I need to get the information of how to do that, so that we get that on the other links page. But we want you to actually start looking at what's going on in Wyoming, because I still have faith in the cowboy state. Now, when we come back from the break, I will have Malachi all in the queue ready to read for you. We'll be right back after this. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing. I actually went online to see if I could find this, and I went into this mad, you know, panic mode, because as I was trying to find a good source for scriptures, it seemed like the sources that I use were offline at this point in time. And I'm going, what the heck? Why? So I actually ran back into the library, because the studio is not the library, and I grabbed an old family Holy Bible. And this one I'm holding actually has these very specific scriptures underlined. And so this is Malachi, this is the Old Testament, and this is King James Version. Now, I understand that there are other versions, there is the, starts with the G, and it's not, it is not the Gideon's version. It is the older, so there's a version that's a little bit older than King James Version. And come to find out, there's not much differences between, and there's a lot of people that believe there is a significant difference between the King James Version and the older version, and there are a little bit. There are a little bit of differences. However, for purposes, I've just stuck with the King James Version just because it was just such a standard. So anyway, let me just read this to you. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, where have in we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And he goes on, you know, the final verse of this paragraph view, or this context. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the whole point is, the Lord is basically saying that you need to sacrifice. And you, if you look at how many people are just struggling, and I know many of you, it's hard to be able to pay, just take money out of what you're making and pay a tithe, and to pay an offering. And what is an offering? That's between you and the Lord. But the tithes, that goes all the way back to Old Testament. I mean, the Lord commanded Abraham, and that I don't think that's been lifted, that we're supposed to contribute 10% to the Lord, give 10% to the Lord. That's above and beyond the actual life offerings, or I should say the sacrifices, such as the young lamb, or the yearling lamb sacrifice in the similitude of Christ. Anyway, I don't want to get into all the details, but what is essential is, if you don't have the financial ability, I will tell you that if you actually sacrifice your time, because sacrifice is sacrifice, and the Lord recognizes it. He knows that if you're actually contributing and doing and, taking the time to do what you need to do to preserve liberty for others, there is nothing probably more sacred in this world than your freedom of choice, your free will, your ability to choose, your liberty, and make the choices so that you can live a life based on your accord and based on civility and the civil laws that he has established within this nation. We will be blessed if we at least set aside our self-interest and our differences. And that's why I wanted to get into this. He will start to bless you. And when the time comes, when you can afford, and don't think, don't make the mistake of saying, I can't afford it yet. Push yourselves. I am telling you, push yourselves in sacrifice. Because what does he say? Prove me now this day that I not, and I'm paraphrasing here, that I won't open the windows of heaven, that you won't have room enough in your life to receive the blessings I'm willing to give you, and that all the world will call your nation blessed, and that I will, save you from the devourer. Folks, why can't you not afford that type of blessing? And I tell people this all the time. You can't afford not to pay tithes and do offerings and sacrifice of yourself. The only reason, and I testify to this, the only reason I've been blessed to this point is because I've been brought up to recognize the importance of sacrifice in all these different ways, and I've always tried to sacrifice and put aside my own self-interest. I'm not trying to, I've never tried to boast in trying to live a life and living with anybody else or living to somebody else's standards. I mean, I do enjoy the finer things in life, and that's not necessarily some curse that has devoured me, that I've become so consumed in having to possess all the things, but the Lord has blessed me so that I can enjoy those finer things in life, and He will bless all of us. So the whole point in all of this, the whole point in even driving this point to you now, is that if you want to succeed and you want to get involved and you want to be a part of Reclaiming the Republic, and we're looking at trying to create this Reclaiming the Republic network. If we can get people to do this, we're going to do it. We want to get into multimedia. We're talking to some people with video channels and so forth. What we want to do is start uniting and start working together in helping you, because I'm not trying to create an organization. I do have a trademark, and I'm not going to share my trademark name with anybody that is going to try to make their organization a profiteering organization. If you look at the essence of public utilities should not be making a profit to where you have to make a choice whether you're going to have heat in the wintertime or whether you're going to starve. We shouldn't be in that position. And as a matter of fact, if you really look at how much people spend, I was flabbergasted. I was kind of pretty proud of my son when I heard that, you know, what he was spending for a month and, you know, taking care of his family. But I was flabbergasted what their food bill was, what they had in a budget for their food bill for, you know, for a family of four. And I'm going, wow, you know, that is a lot of disposable money, a disposable income. And so I know they try to grow their own food and they try to do those types of things. And so I think I'm proud of that. I applaud my son for doing everything he can. All my children, I know that they're all trying. They've all been given, you know, a swift kick in the butt, you know, in life to make sure that they go and do for themselves. I can honestly say that probably the most important lesson I ever learned was learning the importance of a, you know, hard-earned day and a hard-earned labor and hard-earned wage. That, you know, nothing in life should be easy. You know, we need to live off the sweat of our brow, because I'm telling you, when you get that check and you go and make that mortgage payment, when you go and make the, you know, pay your bills, there's probably nothing more satisfying than the saying, I am able to do this myself. Thank you, Lord, that I can do this myself. And we're all moving into this world of slavery. And they're just basically squeezing and squeezing and shutting off every avenue of you being able. Pretty soon you won't be able to grow your own food. Pretty soon you will actually have to take what they give you, and you're going to have to do what they tell you. We are working our way into a level of slavery, and most people can't even fathom this. We're working our way into a level of slavery that should be just abhorred by anybody who loves liberty. And most people are going to look at it and go, wow, you know, I can live with that. That's okay. I'm going to get my vacation. I get to go watch my football games on the weekends. Folks, don't buy into this. So anyway, what we want to do is we want to cover what you have to do. So if you're interested in becoming a part of, I'll just call it your own county, because Reclaiming the Republic is going to help you. We're trying to do is monetize this show so that as we actually get this show aired in your flyover counties, in your county and your neighboring counties, as you start bringing this in, what we want to do is we want to take the majority of the profits. And when we talk majority of the profits, we're talking about 80% of the profits. So we want to funnel back to you in paying for your email services and paying for your domain for your county unorganized militia. This is your county, not just you, but everybody that lives in that county owns the responsibility of holding government accountable. Everybody in that county, as U.S. citizens, are obligated to hold their public servants and their government accountable, and the good Lord gave us a constitution to allow us to do this. He gave us the First Amendment right of petition. He gave us common law and common law grand juries. There's a reason why we instituted that. And unbeknownst to the good people of Louisiana, there was a reason why it was put into the Bill of Rights. And then in the 14th Amendment, it drove that home. And technically, Louisiana has been violating the Constitution ever since the 14th Amendment, because every U.S. citizen has the right to common law and common law courts and trials by jury. And however, all of this time, they've been going and getting away with civil law and civil courts. We need to create a ruckus in Louisiana, but more importantly, from coast to coast, we need to create a ruckus by using the Constitution as our weapon, not by our Second Amendment rights, but by our First Amendment rights, where we petition government in holding them accountable and demanding our common law access to common law courts. We'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we're going into the break, I was really pointing out that this is your organization. There are lots of activist groups. The American Policy Center wants you to create pods, and or Sheriff Mack wants you to create constitutional sheriffs and police officer associations and create what he calls a constitutional county. I am telling you that if you go and you sign up with any of these organizations, you will never achieve what you need, because these organizations are serving themselves. It's that simple. They're only out to serve themselves. And I understand that they have to put bread on their table. And I believe that's why it's important that we look. I mean, I've talked about this before, about the Second Awakening. Anybody that has listened to this show for any period of time realizes the evil that beset upon America with the Second Awakening. The Second Awakening was in the early 1800s, when we moved away from a layman's church where everybody participated in the community in different facets. You were in government. You were in church. Everybody participated in the church to some degree. And I'll give you John Adams and John Adams' father as an example. John Adams was a lawyer. He was like, kind of a public servant in supporting people under the law, and understood that. And I think he may have been a part of, the immature English bar system because he was a lawyer. And he actually defended the four British soldiers that ended up killing some people, the Boston Massacre. Not like the massacres we see. I mean, that was a pretty light massacre. But anyway, John Adams' father was a cobbler. He provided for his family by making shoes. And he also provided for his community as the way leader, like the minister or preacher for the Puritan faith, right there in their community. Everybody participated. We were all kind of, we had our family units, and the family was the nucleus of our society, and we shared all of these same interests in supporting the community, both at a religious aspect. And this is one of the reasons why, people, when they move together, because they aligned religiously. We don't have that anymore, because we've allowed people to start deviating and perverting via our education system into godless secularism. Now, when I said allowed, we allowed our government to start actually teaching false doctrine in our education system. In other words, they created the Antichrist Church right out from underneath our nose. So it created these all sorts of problems. We do have to, and as a matter of fact, we have to start embracing Christianity, and we actually have to be adults, and we have to be civil, and we have to put aside our biases, because you know as well as I do, you want to get things stirred up, you want to get people hot under the collar, start talking about religion at work. Religion becomes such a hot issue for people because it is so personal. Well, if you're actually looking and seeking truth, then it's okay to discuss, and it's okay to admit you're wrong. It's okay to say, wow, I didn't know that. And let me read more about this, because reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. It doesn't matter what the topic is. So my point is that your county is your community, and it is the lowest level of community in quote-unquote government speak. The way this nation was built, it was built at a three-tiered government system. At the county levels is where the community started, and that was the foundation of this nation. When we severed our ties from the monarchy and we became an independent and sovereign nation, our counties really became the central point of the majority of our government. The problem was that quickly after the counties, started establishing and centralizing some powers at the state level, we had state cabals. And the evidence of that was clear in the Articles of Confederation. I've talked about this, where the Articles of Confederation and the state cabals, those states have vigorously fought against the ratification of the Constitution, gave us all the insights to prove how these people were literally trying to defend the ability for the state to do anything and everything, to have these central powers without... None of the states had bills of rights. Well, I take that back. I think Virginia tried to create a bill of rights. But again, when they framed the new Constitution, they realized that the biggest mistake that they made was trying to put their arms around preserving rights. What they did and what the Lord showed them is you delegate specific powers to government. You don't preserve rights. You delegate powers. And then you work in the paradigm that these are the only things they can do. If it's not delegated, they can't do it. This preserves the powers, the roles, and responsibilities for the next level down. So when you start going to the top and you whittle down to an enumerated constitution, the few powers that you want them to exercise, then you're done. You really didn't need a Bill of Rights. But we did need a Bill of Rights. And we needed a Bill of Rights not for the time, but for future time, because we had this problem called slavery. and we had this problem called state powers and state controls. And the cabals continued to grow, and the machinations and evil designs within the states still existed. I think it was a miracle. I think it was absolutely a miracle that we had this little phase in American history called the Radical Republicans, because it was a quick flash in history where in America we had Congress move back towards these fundamental principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, which is what gave us the 14th Amendment. I know you hear lots of people that talk bad about the 14th Amendment. They don't know. The only way you're going to know is I will tell you this. Pray. Pray about the 14th Amendment. Go read the debates of these men in Congress, these quote-unquote radical Republicans. These were the sovereigns. These were the people that actually had the power. These were the men that created the first Civil Rights Act of 1866. And then when they realized after Andrew Johnson, the president, who was the vice president for Lincoln, who stepped in, he vetoed it. He vetoed that amendment, or I should say that act, and then Congress quickly overrode. They voted to get two-thirds in both houses and overrode that. But while they were doing that, they realized that this was just, it was an exercise in futility. Why? Because they knew that an act had no constitutional standing. A Civil Rights Act was just nice words on a piece of paper. And so they instantly turned their focus as soon as they overrode the president to show that they had this unified force of liberty in Congress at this very specific point in time. And I believe that was done by the divine hand of providence, that he gave those men the courage to do what was needed to be done. And this is how the Bill of Rights got applied to the states. When I say the Bill of Rights, it's talking about the individual privileges and immunities guaranteed to every U.S. citizen, which means that all privileges and immunities within the U.S. Constitution and its amendments were now applied to the states, because no state could make, create, or enforce any law that would abridge the privileges and immunities guaranteed to a U.S. citizen, which means that U.S. Constitution, those privileges and immunities, because I hear people say, oh, it doesn't include the Bill of Rights. Is the Bill of Rights a part of the Constitution, my friends? Yes, it is. It's the same thing with all of the amendments, all the way up to 28. And yeah, there are 28 amendments, by the way. Oh, that's because I'm including the original 13th Amendment. There's the 13th Amendment A and 13th Amendment B, and then we have the 14th Amendment, because most people call them out to the 27. And I am telling you that we may need to rename or relabel, but bottom line, there are two 13th Amendments. And I don't know why or how the federal government did that. But it was considered the 13th Amendment, the title of nobility's amendment, was actually ratified. And we have evidence of this. And I have a book that proves this. And if it's in books throughout the Republic, that means it was a legitimate amendment. So anyway, going forward, what we have to do is we have to start looking at how we restore that. And when we look at what the framers did in 1787, and then in 1866 with the 14th Amendment, we need to take America to the next level. I am telling you that, I'm not getting into theory. I am telling you that there is a necessity. The counties need to create their own constitutions, because we're now at a point of civility where we have millions of people in several different counties across the United States. In other words, we have that level of population. However, the counties need to create a new state constitution, and counties have to recognize that all counties are equal, just like all states are equal. Now, there's going to be a lot of these big counties. Now, let's look at it this way. How many counties, go do the math, how many counties out there have more than 1 million people in that county? And so when you look at how many counties there are 4,000, they're less than 5,000. Let's just round it up to 5,000. So there's 5,000 counties. What is the percentage of those counties in America that actually have a high population of 1 million people? And I'm going to tell you why this is important and why we need to start changing our paradigms and understanding republicanism and why American republicanism is important. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so most people, they have a hard time understanding, one, republicanism and American republicanism. Republicanism is literally a form of government where it is a representative government, where the people are, it's not a democracy. A democracy is where mob rules. In other words, 50% plus one is how everything is done, and the people have the choice, and the people have all the power. The framers understood, and anybody with any brain between their two ears can realize how dangerous mob rule can be. It becomes, and it creates a very volatile situation when you get a mob that actually seizes control. You want any evidence of this? Well, we can start with 1790 and the mob rule of the French Revolution. They didn't have a plan. It was literally just, you know, off with their heads. And then this despot rises to power named Napoleon. What we had in America in 2020, and since then, we have had the Bolshevik Revolution, where a mob would go down and outnumber the people that are out there, and that's only because we've allowed them to outnumber us, because people do not feel comfortable. I am telling you, if everybody in Portland, if everybody in Seattle stepped out of their house and walked out into the street and says, "You're not burning our property," those kids would have gone away. They would have recognized that they just wouldn't have what it would take, especially if people actually stood and defended their property with the necessary weapons, whether it be an axe, whether it be a pitchfork. I don't care whether it be with a gun. All people have to do is see that an armed, angry mob is willing to defend their property, and those little indolent, selfish little Bolsheviks would have ran home with their tails but between their legs, and they would have gone hid in their parents' basement or wherever those parasites live. I'm telling you that, and I've said this before, and I put it into context about the Toriax. We need to reinvoke the Toriax because every single one of those parasites needs to be shipped out to a communist country of their choice. We don't need them here. We don't want them here. They want to destroy and take away liberty and try to destroy and create a mob rule. You can go do that somewhere else. This is a civil society that has empowered the people with liberty to choose for themselves and not to allow a small minority to actually overthrow our government. This is why you have to take your counties back. This is why we have to start building on the same principles and the foundation that the framers gave us. I'm telling you, it's really simple. And this is something that you own yourselves. We all own this. The only things that I actually own is the things that I can control from somebody like Soros or even Glenn Beck from coming in with millions of dollars and saying, I'm going to buy you out. That's not going to happen, folks. It's not going to happen here. I'm going to defend your rights and your ability to seize control of your county and take back your government and hold your public servants accountable. Because God gave us those things. And we, as the inheritors of this land, as U.S. citizens, regardless of whether we're an immigrant or whether we've been a long-term, lived here for, and you're talking to a person that has lived here for a long time because I have heritage. I had I'm a descendant of two different families on the Mayflower. Yes, I have that. And no, I'm not going to go and join some haughty, you know, stuck-up society. I could be in lots of different societies, but I don't care. So if you're like me and your family has been here for a long time, regardless of the origins, right? I'm no better than you. I am equally blessed as you because I have the liberties and protections that the Lord gave us under this Constitution. I am telling you, this is not about demographics. And so and this all started when I was talking to this Republican and how they wanted to placate and let demographics start dictating how we interact with each other. I am telling you, when somebody walks in that door, if they're white, if they're black, if they're male, if they're female, and they want to start dictating based on their demographics, get out of this room, get out of this house, and get out of this country. We all are God's creatures, and we all have inalienable rights. And your rights don't trump mine, and mine don't trump yours. We have to start working together, and we have to defend everybody's rights. Again, my father taught me this lesson a long, long time ago, that my rights end. I mean, I was just a little kid when, you know, I wanted to, you know, do something because somebody was taking away something from me. And my father says, you know, son, your rights end where somebody else's rights begin. And their rights end where your rights begin. And so that was good enough for me to start understanding at a very young age that we have to be cognizant and we have to respect the rights of others. So when you come in and you start wanting to make this, oh, well, we want, you know, laws for blacks. No, we want laws for humans. It's not about your demographics. And so as this gentleman was talking about this big tent concept, it's the reinvention of the Republican Party all over again. We're a big tent and we want to be inclusive of all the demographics and groups. No. If you're a human being and you want your individual liberty and you want to have full control over your own decisions and not government making decisions for you, in other words, dictating, government should not be dictating what is going on in that school. It's one thing to have a majority everybody agrees upon, right? So if we sat down on education and we actually had everybody and it would require three-fourths of the people present to agree upon a curriculum that this would be taught, I'll bet you anything we would be back to the three R's, reading, arithmetic, and whatever the other R is. And Thank you for the text. I know they're coming. Anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. When we actually all start agreeing, when everybody becomes reasonable, because everybody realizes the importance of literacy. Everybody understands the importance of sciences. Everybody does not understand, and as a matter of fact, everybody to this day is still baffled on why social services and social science and social engineering even was allowed in our education. Why did we let this happen? Why did we let the federal government to start dictating their own doctrine of a religion? It's one thing to say, you know what, we're going to allow this creationism to actually, you know, be taught, but we're not going to allow it, nor will it ever, nor should Christianity or any religion be the dominant religion. I think it's really great when you actually start academically looking and comparing. Why is it great? Because it leads you to the truth. Because all of a sudden you can choose your biases and say, I want to defend my bias. But when we all have to basically shed that to say, okay, well, here's some facts about this. And when we put all the facts on the table, it becomes more and more apparent whether there's truth, and it leads us to that truth. There you go, folks. This is why the framers and the good Lord gave us this civil society, a society that wasn't supposed to get caught up in the rancor and the polarizing. But George Washington and the framers were well aware that this was a reality when we allowed factions to come in. So what you have to do, and I'm looking over my shoulder, I got 2 minutes. Okay, so we're not going to be able to get into this militia structure, the unorganized militia. And what I want to do is actually talk to you about what is an unorganized militia versus a militia. A militia, in essence, is a paramilitary organization because it is an organized organization. If you understand military, in essence, requires organization. You have fire teams and you have the fields of fire. You have very specific roles and responsibilities so that you can function. It's just like sports. You have an organized sport. Now, it's just like an organized religion. You have very specific doctrines and so forth. When you have an unorganized militia, and you have to understand the militia is not an army. The militia becomes an army when it is organized and then when it is federalized. And I'm going to get into a little bit more details regarding the militia, not in our next episode. We're going to have Art Macomber in our next episode, and I want you to hear this conversation that we had, and I want you to, you know, decide for yourself. I want feedback. As a matter of fact, I want you to reach out to Art and tell him what you think is important for a attorney general. As I've told you, I think the attorney generals and these positions for lawyers within government actually started creating more of our problems. And it's one thing for, if you look at me, I'm not a party member. As a matter of fact, I get poked in the eye because I'm not a party member. Hey, you're not a part of our party. Get out of here. But the fact is, we all recognize the parties are the problems. And I believe that the only way we can get rid of lawyers, the only way we can get rid of parties, the only way we can get rid of these self-serving entities and things is by actually using them on the principles that the Lord gave us, and we'll get into this more, in obliterating them and shedding these agendas and shedding these self-interests and so forth. Folks, we'll be back with Macomber, I'm sorry. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.